The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from Triangle Radio Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'm going to be reading to you primarily from the AARP Bulletin for January and February 2018. And today's programming is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. So this issue is starting out with a little calendar of events in February. It's the shortest month of the year, only 40,320 minutes. So let's make everyone count. On February 4th, they note, the USO, which supports members of the nation's military and their families, celebrated its 77th birthday. AARP and the U.S. Postal Inspection Service have joined forces in a campaign to raise awareness about scams that target veterans. On February 11, in 2016, scientists announced they had detected gravitational waves confirming the final part of Albert Einstein's theory of relativity. Yet to be scientifically proved is his theory of happiness. Yes, Einstein dished advice, and we'll get to that later. On February 14, not only is it Valentine's Day, but author Kristen Hanna, who wrote the blockbuster bestseller The Nightingale, talks with AARP's The Girlfriend about her new book, The Great Alone. Join the conversation at noon Eastern Time at facebook.com/thegirlfriendletter. Or learn more about other great reads at aarp.org/books. On February 15, medical identity theft, Medicare fraud, and increasingly complex IRS scams cost taxpayers billions of dollars. AARP's Sam Wilson and AARP Foundation fraud expert Amy Knopfziger discuss the most current schemes and take your calls on the air on AARP Live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on RFD TV. February 13, AARP honors the great films and performances of 2017 at the annual Movies for Grown-Ups Awards. PBS's great performances broadcast the previously recorded show on public stations at 9 p.m. Check your local listings. If you missed the broadcast, stream it at pbs.org and read about new movie releases at aarp.org/movies. Next in the news, brain health. Go easy on the wine, caffeine, chocolate. Study challenges popular thinking about their benefits. Remember all those cheery reports on how red wine, dark chocolate, or caffeine-rich drinks might help your brain stay sharp? Not so fast. A new study from the Global Council on Brain Health, GCBH, has found no evidence of such links. GCBH is an independent collaborative sponsored by AARP and Age UK, a British charity. Its study released in January, Brain Food, GCBH Recommendations on Nourishing Your Brain Health, looks at the way diet and food choices can affect your brain health. The news may be sobering to those downing Cabernet after reading about the beneficial effects of wine. If you drink alcohol, do so in moderation and only with meals, the report says, because it is unclear if there is any beneficial level of consumption for brain health. The GCBH experts also found scant support for the idea that drinking coffee was a long-term positive for your brain. Some research has been published about the protective benefits of the antioxidants in tea and coffee, the report notes. Short-term effects of caffeine consumption have been shown to increase alertness, but there is no consensus on whether the impact of tea and coffee is clearly beneficial or harmful for brain health. As for dark chocolate, while there is some research showing high consumption of cocoa flavanols can cut memory loss, the amount of chocolate you would need to eat to positively impact the brain could be cancelled out by the number of calories and sugar you consume. So, what should you eat? Pretty much what you'd expect. The council confirmed that a plant-based diet rich in green leafy vegetables and berries contributes to better brain health, while a diet high in red meat, saturated fats, sugar, and salt can harm your brain health. And there is mounting evidence that the omega-3 fatty acids in fish protect against neurodegenerative disorders. Some fish have high mercury content, but the benefits outweigh the risks. The experts say, eat the fish. Now here's a 2018 Medicare update. Medicare members whose monthly Part B premiums were about $109 last year will pay $130 on average in 2018. The new amount paid by some people who get Social Security benefits was announced by the government's Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in late November, after the December issue of the AARP bulletin was printed. As a result, an article on 2018 changes contained incomplete information. You can go to aarp.org/Medicare to get the most current Medicare information. Boomers are ready to hit the road. 2018 travel plans are way up. It's shaping up to be a big year of travel for boomers, the 2018 AARP Travel Trends Survey suggests. Among the findings, older Americans are nearly twice as likely as they were a year ago to feel free, financially and otherwise, to travel in 2018. Nearly half say they have a strong urge to get away from it all. Older Americans are planning an average of 4 or 5 trips for fun in the coming year. Most say they will spend the same or more on travel and leisure compared with 2017. The average budgeted for travel is $6,400. About half plan to travel domestically, with Florida and California as the top destinations. The other half will include at least one trip abroad in 2018, with Caribbean and European trips the most popular. Nearly 7 out of 10 boomers who are still employed say they'll use all of their allotted vacation time this year, up from 6 in 10 a year ago. See the full report at aarp.org/2018travel trends. Oh dear, here's a distressing headline in the news. Special report, America's veterans targeted by crooks. AARP and the U.S. Postal Service announced campaign to fight fraud. This is by Michael Hedges. Clarence Woody Herndon's military service included a year of flying helicopters to rescue fellow soldiers in Vietnam in the 1960s. But after he died last June, it was his wife, Donna, of Murray, Kentucky, who was soon under assault from the kind of con artists who target veterans and their families. A week after the funeral, Donna Herndon got a call from someone claiming to represent the Department of Veterans Affairs. "I was very vulnerable," she said. "The lady was amazingly kind and sympathetic. But she had bad news. Woody had failed to pay premiums on a $50,000 insurance policy for 2 years. Donna Herndon doubted her meticulous husband had made that mistake, but the woman was insistent. She said, 'If you can make these payments now, we can reinstate the policy.'" With the pain of her husband's death still fresh, Herndon was being led into a trap set by crooks who had scoured her husband's obituary for his personal details in an attempt to cheat her while grief was clouding her thinking. The scheme is just one of many that target veterans and their families. Overall, vets receive fraudulent pitches at a significantly higher rate than the general public, according to research by AARP's Fraud Watch Network. As a result, vets have been twice as likely as non-veterans to become fraud victims over the past 5 years, a Fraud Watch Network survey found. These frauds take on many forms, from bogus phone calls asking for their VA information to calls from so-called fellow vets seeking money for investment or help. Others target the vets' pensions or benefits. to fight back, AARP and the U.S. Postal Inspection Service announced in November the formation of a national campaign called Operation Protect Veterans. See the website at aarp.org/protectveterans. While veterans are bombarded by the same scam pitches we all receive, our research found that they are also under special attack from scams aimed just at them, said AARP CEO Joanne Jenkins. With advances in technology, scam artists have become much more sophisticated at tailoring their pitches and zeroing in on their targets, said Guy Cottrell, chief postal inspector with the U.S. Postal Inspection Service. For Kentucky widow Donna Herndon, the call that came in soon after her husband's death wasn't even the first time thieves had tried to rip her off in a moment of tragic loss. The couple's son, Roger, had wanted to follow in his father's footsteps as a military aviator, but he died in a training flight before his senior year at the U.S. Military Academy in West Point, New York. That tragedy was made worse when, soon after his death, the family got a bogus call from someone claiming Roger owed payments on an expensive watch and asking them to wire money. "We knew he had paid it off," she said. "Even then, people were trying to take advantage." Perhaps that earlier experience prepared Herndon for the call seeking money for insurance premium payments. She quickly hung up and avoided follow-up attempts. Thanks to her diligence and experience, this time the scam artists lost. "Be wary of any unsolicited phone calls," Herndon said, "and if someone starts talking about an immediate need to transfer money, that's a big red flag. These people are convincing. It was just unimaginable to me that someone was doing something that evil." So, veteran fraud by the numbers. AARP commissioned NORC, a research organization at the University of Chicago, in October, to survey veterans and non-veterans about their fraud experiences. Among their findings, 16% of veterans lost money in frauds in the past 5 years. That's double the 8% rate for adults who haven't served. 80% of veterans said they've been targeted by a veteran-specific rip-off attempt in the past 5 years. 33% of those who lost money to investment scams in the U.S. had served in the military. 25% of veterans say they receive 10 or more suspicious phone calls every week. Now we've got a sidebar here. Charity scams hurt veterans. Several organizations that claim to help veterans have turned out to be scams. Others have been criticized for giving too little of the money that they raise to veterans and their families. Here are some recent cases of fraud and mismanagement. In October, John Thomas Birch, 75, was sentenced to 5 months in prison for embezzling $149,317 from a former charity that he headed called the National Vietnam Veterans Foundation, which raised $29 million between 2010 and 2014. Harvard-educated lawyer John Donald Cody is serving a 28-year prison sentence for running a fraudulent organization called the U.S. Navy Veterans Association. Donors were swindled out of nearly $100 million, according to trial testimony. The Wounded Warrior Project fired its two top executives in 2016 after news accounts of excessive spending on parties, salaries, and conferences. Plus, a report had determined that only 60% of the money raised went to injured veterans. The charity vowed major changes to restore trust in the organization. Here are some tips to help you find out which charities are worthy of your support, compiled by AARP's Fraud Watch Network. Do ask for a lot of information, including the registration number of the charity, its web address, and how much of a donation actually goes to those in need. Don't donate to the charity if it can't give you its registration number. Do conduct an online search that includes the name of the charity and the word complaint to see if it has been reported for any wrongdoing. Don't authorize an automatic withdrawal from your bank account or credit card to make payments to the charity or fundraiser. Do verify that a charity is registered by contacting the state office of your Secretary of State or Attorney General. Most states require charities to register and regularly report their fundraising activities. Don't make an emotional decision to support the cause without first conducting a background check. Do look up the charity on Charity Navigator at charitynavigator.org. How vet scams work. Operation Protect Veterans is exposing schemes like these five that are aimed at ex-military members. 1. Pension predators. Billie Jo Slater of Mounds View, Minnesota, borrowed against her late husband's military pension to pay for her dog's emergency surgery, but the $2,100 loan turned into a $21,000 debt. Shady companies are giving money to vets up front in exchange for monthly payments transferred from pension accounts that add up to many times the amount borrowed. In August, Minnesota Attorney General Lori Swanson filed a lawsuit against two companies she said exploited veterans. People should be very cautious about giving away their future pension benefits to get just pennies on the dollar, she said. 2. Phone scams. In May, Veterans Affairs issued a warning. Watch out for mimic phone line scams. The alert was triggered by reports that scam artists had set up a phone line with a number that was very similar to a real veterans hotline number. The number for that program, Veterans Choice, starts with 866. Scammers were using an 800 area code. When a vet accidentally calls, he or she is talked into disclosing credit card information with the promise of a $100 rebate. VA would never ask veterans for this information, a spokesman said. 3. Investment fraud. Regulators have warned that some former service members are using their military ties to lure vets into risky or downright illegal investments. For example, in January 2017, former Marine Clayton Cohn, now 31, was sentenced to 52 months in prison for defrauding investors, many of whom had served with him in Iraq. According to the case brought by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, Cohn raised almost $2 million from investors by lying about previous successes as a stock trader. He then spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on things like a Hollywood mansion and a luxury automobile. 4. Predatory lending. Veterans with home mortgages backed by the VA are being targeted by companies that aggressively call and send letters to coerce them to refinance. After receiving many complaints, the Government National Mortgage Association, known as Ginnie Mae, investigated and found the loans were not to help veterans, but to generate fees, and some veterans ended up with a higher mortgage, said Michael Bright, Ginnie Mae's acting president. 5. Benefit scams. In October, Elizabeth Honig, 52, of Morganville, New Jersey, was sentenced to 2 years in prison for stealing from a VA program that was set up to help older vets train for new jobs. She signed up nearly 200 veterans, but few got any real training. Many were never eligible for the program, federal prosecutors said. She was ordered to repay $2.8 million. For more information on fraud prevention, go to aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. For information about programs aimed at stopping scams against veterans, go to aarp.org/protectveterans. Next, here's I've had all my big successes on the heels of rejection. This is the title for Q&A interview with Barbara Corcoran, who is the star of Shark Tank, age 68, on how she reinvented her life. How did you turn a $1,000 loan from your boyfriend into a billion-dollar business in New York? Her answer is, for me, publicity was the big kahuna. In 1981, we were close to going out of business, so I wrote a small report to see if I could draw attention to our company. I added up our 11 apartment sales over 6 months, got an average, and typed average New York City apartment price, $255,000. Then I sent it out to everyone I knew who wrote for the New York Times. 2 weeks later, a story on the front of the Times real estate section said, "Study shows co-op prices nearly quintupled." And the first line was, "According to the Corcoran Group." It was like being hit by a magic stick. We had credibility overnight. When Madonna got pregnant, I did a report on what she'd be looking for in an apartment. I didn't know what she would be looking for, but she was rich and probably wanted whatever rich people wanted. I was on three different news stations that week, and they introduced me as celebrity broker Barbara Corcoran, which was a joke. I had no celebrities, but I got Richard Gere as a result. You sold your business in 2001 for an astounding $66 million. But you felt miserable. Why? It's a hard thing to be a big deal in town and then be a nobody. How did you reinvent yourself? It took a while, but I finally wrote a list of what I loved and what I hated, and I found out that the things I loved were very few. I loved making people happy, I loved the media, and I loved the attention of a crowd. So I decided to go into the TV business. I thought it would be easy, but my entire Rolodex was useless. Do you know who helped me tremendously? Barbara Walters. I went on The View, and she asked me, "What do you do now?" I said, "I'm trying to become a TV expert on small business because I don't ever want to talk about real estate again." And she said, "You better grab real estate and make it your own if you want to go into TV, because the minute someone else does, you're going to hate yourself." That was great advice. Producer Mark Burnett recruited you for Shark Tank, but later decided to go with another candidate. What happened then? I sat down and wrote the best email of my life immediately. What did you say? I told him that I considered his decision to be a lucky charm because, quote, "I've had all my big successes on the heels of rejection," end quote. I said he should consider inviting both of us to L.A. for a tryout. "I've booked my flight and hope to be on that plane." I didn't hear anything that day, but the next morning his assistant called and said, "When I walked your email over to Mr. Burnett and watched him read it, he said, 'This girl is a real shark.'" What sets great entrepreneurs apart from everybody else? They don't feel sorry for themselves. I've bought into 40-odd businesses, and the best entrepreneurs all have that trait. They may not be really high IQ people, but they're extremely good at taking a hit. What's the biggest mistake new business owners make? They have an idea in their head, but they don't see if anyone will actually buy it. Their research consists of their family and friends, and they don't even ask them to write a check. Most people don't realize that the only thing important in business is that you make sales. If you do, everything else will fall in place. You credit your mother for your success. What did she teach you? One thing was she wouldn't let us complain. I remember complaining to her about my boss, Nick, who owned the Fort Lee Diner. Mostly men went there, and they'd almost always say they wanted to sit at Gloria's counter because her chest was so large she could balance coffee cups on top. I just thought it was unfair. When I said that to my mother, she said, "Why don't you braid up your long blonde hair and put little ribbons on it?" I did it, and it made all the difference. That was the night my future boyfriend and real estate partner, Ramon Simone, walked in and asked to sit at my counter. Now, here's a piece headline. Need help filing your tax return? AARP Foundation Tax Aid celebrates 50 years of free tax service. Bill Ensign gets excited about the prospect of filing taxes. "It's one of my passions," admits Ensign, assistant state coordinator for the AARP Foundation Tax Aid Program in Oregon. "I love to do taxes. I'm crazy, I know, but I really do." For the past 33 years, the retired U.S. Forest Service accountant has provided advice and helped file thousands of tax returns. Celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, the Tax Aid Program, working with the Internal Revenue Service, has helped some 50 million low- and moderate-income taxpayers with free tax service and tax form preparation. The great satisfaction is when you get someone in who doesn't know they had extra money coming to them, says Ensign, 76. When you have a client breaking down for joy over an extra few thousand dollars, it's tough to hold your own composure. Last year, nearly 35,000 tax aid volunteers working at about 5,000 sites nationwide helped taxpayers file 1.5 million federal returns, generating almost $1.4 billion in refunds and $222 million in earned income tax credits. Tax aid counselors must complete tax preparation training and IRS certification before they can work with taxpayers, which they usually do from February to mid-April. Most tax aid preparation sites are in senior citizen centers, community centers, public libraries, and shopping malls. It's a natural fit because I like helping people, says Terry Clay, a district coordinator in suburban Minneapolis who works for a county library system. Ensign and Clay are among over 100 tax aid volunteers who have served 30 years or longer. To find an AARP Foundation tax aid location near you, go to aarp.org/findtaxhelp or call 888-227-7669, toll free. Now, here's a book review. Should it stay or should it go? It's just stuff. Maybe so, but dealing with the emotions that downsizing stirs up is difficult, whether you're going through your own house or your parents' home. This workbook provides advice and how-to checklists, along with a place to reflect, record, and retain pieces of family history, even as you let go. Go to aarp.org/downsizing workbook. Now, Washington Watch. Having a say on self-driving vehicles. Self-driving cars may be coming to your neighborhood sooner than you think. With appropriate safety measures, autonomous vehicles have the potential to significantly reduce traffic fatalities and injuries, as well as to transform the lives of those who cannot drive themselves. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has developed federal AV policy guidelines on issues such as how many vehicles will be allowed exemptions from current safety standards and whether states and localities will be allowed to oversee these AVs or automatic vehicles, autonomous vehicles, on the streets. AARP has suggested ways to improve these guidelines, such as having manufacturers, tech companies, and equipment suppliers conduct mandatory instead of optional safety assessments. AARP will be joining the discussion on AVs this month at the North American International Auto Show in Detroit. And now, I see that we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I hope you'll listen next time and that you've enjoyed this. I'm Florence Nash, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long till next time.